Model Test 3.
Section A. Mini Lecture.
In this section, you will hear a mini lecture. You will hear the mini lecture once only. While listening to the mini lecture, please complete the gap-filling task with no more than 3 words for each gap. Make sure the word or words you fill in is or are both grammatically and semantically acceptable. You may use the blank sheet for note-taking. You have 30 seconds to preview the gap-filling task. Now, listen to the mini-lecture. When it is over, you will be given 3 minutes to check your work.
In today's lecture, the key issue we are going to discuss is ethics in companies. I'd like to talk about, in the first place, the importance of ethics in today's business world. Well, in the old days, measuring company performance was simply a case of looking at turnover, profits, and dividends. However, the last few years have seen environmental and ethical issues move to be the forefront of public concern and have resulted in a closer scrutiny of a company's performance of ethics. Today, globalization is allowing companies to source from even greater distances. This enables a company to exploit the economic advantages of low labor costs in one country and high market value in another. Of course, they have to be careful not to be seen to be exploiting the workers. Consumers are becoming even more sensitive to the exploitation stories and indeed environmental issues. This is because as consumers become richer and become used to spending more on a product, they also feel that they should be spending ethically. This is backed up by media stories and press items, and exploitation stories receive very good press, and of course, they can cause great damage. As the government has been slow to respond to the increasing importance of ethics, companies have been forced to address the subject themselves and realign their own management policies accordingly. These policies will determine how a company conducts all aspects of its business, from dealing with clients to reporting to shareholders. Then, I shall provide you a know-how pack of how to perform ethically. Figures show that more and more companies are now reporting their ethical performance, and it's clear, I think, that companies now have to address the issue of ensuring ethical behavior amongst their staff. To begin with, awareness is the key. The company needs to set out an official code of ethical practice and ensure that all employees have access to it and can understand it easily. The company then needs to implement an effective and anonymous system of reporting any breaches of this code. Once the procedures are in place, the company can then benchmark its ethical practice against those of industry leaders and see how it's doing. I think it's also vital that companies ensure that their senior managers set a good example, walk the talk, so to speak. If they don't behave ethically, why should the staff? And finally, the company needs to put ethics high on the training and staff development agenda. It needs to make staff understand why ethics is important, not just to the company, but also to them as well. Now I will move on to discuss the main issue of making companies turn to ethics for competitive advantage. By setting themselves up as ethical, however, companies are not so much promoting the importance of ethical conduct, the well-being of the local community, or the development of society as a whole, as engaging in powerful marketing to attract both discerning clients and bright young recruits. In today's markets, any company without a coherent ethics policy is in danger of surrendering a competitive advantage to its rivals. In order to develop an ethical code of conduct, companies will have to deal with issues such as the legal implications of their disciplinary measures and the effect any new procedures will have on employees. However, new policies can only be developed once the company has identified the core values that underpin its day-to-day operations. Without a clear understanding of these values, it is impossible to develop a code of conduct compatible with the company's culture. An effective code will dictate how employees approach conflicts and other stressful dilemmas not covered by the normal terms and conditions of employment. It will provide employees with a clear understanding of what behavior is expected when they find themselves confronted with such dilemmas. Ethical procedures are particularly critical in times of crisis. Pay disputes, sexual harassment charges, or cases of fraud, for example, can involve very complex issues that require careful decision-making and can have a very negative effect on staff morale. At such times, it is crucial that companies act in an ethical manner. By doing so, they may not be able to avoid the potentially damaging publicity such cases inevitably attract. They will, however, be in a much stronger position to defend themselves in a court of law. The major obstacle which companies face, having established a code of conduct, is that of ensuring that each individual member of staff follows it. Some organizations simply distribute leaflets to all staff in the hope that they will read and act on them. Other companies take a more active approach and invite management gurus to hold seminars on the subject, which, while often highly entertaining, have little long-term impact. Although some companies now include ethics as part of their standard induction program, it is widely accepted that this is not enough. The issue of ethics in the workplace is now of such importance that it needs to be incorporated into in-company development programs for all employees, from the shop floor to the boardroom. With little sign of public concern abating, no organization can afford to ignore the subject of ethics in the workplace. In order to address this issue effectively, companies need to ensure that staff at all levels feel committed to the company and its values and are motivated to transfer this commitment into ethical behavior. Today, I have addressed three issues regarding ethics in companies. The first is the importance of ethics in today's world. The second is how to perform ethically in the companies. The last is the key issue, which concerns the advantages of making companies more ethical in the fierce business competition. That's all for today.
Now, you have 3 minutes to check your work. This is the end of Section A mini lecture.
Section B, interview.
In this section, you will hear one interview. The interview will be divided into two parts. At the end of each part, five questions will be asked about what was said. Both the interview and the questions will be spoken once only. After each question, there will be a 10-second pause. During the pause, you should read the four choices of A, B, C, and D, and mark the best answer to each question. You have 30 seconds to preview the questions. Now, listen to part one of the interview.
Good evening, everybody. In this show, we are glad to have Alice Johnson to discuss with us her understanding of people in the 40s, their worries and concerns. Well, Alice?
Good evening. Nice to meet you.
It is reported that this year, 4.7 million Americans, more than ever before and more than in the foreseeable future, will celebrate their 40th birthday. How do you view this phenomenon?
It will certainly have wonderful implications for Americans of all ages. It will help create a stronger economy and a more stable society.
Really? Well, then how about people in the 40th themselves?
Their life, I'm afraid, is bittersweet. On the one hand, they are healthier, better educated, and have more opportunities than previous middle-agers. But they are also more financially insecure than their parents or older siblings were at this age. They have resisted growing up more than any previous generation. They've had kids later and cosmetic surgery sooner. As a result, today's 40s are facing an unprecedented time crunch. They are working harder at their jobs, rushing home to care for younger children and older parents, and still trying to squeeze in a little age-defying exercise.
Well, can you tell us something more about their health?
Okay. Most people first realize that they're not so young anymore when they hit their 40s. Their belly laps over the belt, knees creak, and hair shades to gray. Vision becomes less acute, strength is sapped, and it's harder to remember names. The sad reality is that this isn't the start of aging. The physical decline begins much earlier, often in the 20s. Even more depressing is that these changes are normal.
Well, that's true. People in their 40th often have the above symptoms.
But there's plenty of good news about turning 40 now. Today's 40-year-olds are much healthier than their parents were at the same age. Deaths from heart disease in the 35 to 44 age group have dropped by more than 50% since the 1970s. Cancer deaths by one-third. 40-year-olds are less likely to have high blood pressure. The result is typical 45-year-olds take a little longer to remember someone's name or where they put the car keys.
Is this a sign for Alzheimer's?
Well, it isn't so serious. Persistent cognitive problems in the 40-something are almost always the result of a treatable problem. Depression, side effects of medication, or drinking too much.
This is the end of part one of the interview. Questions 1-5 are based on what you have just heard.
Question 1. According to Alice, how is the life of people in the 40s?
Question 2. Why do 40s nowadays feel time pressing?
Question 3. Which one is not the symptom of 40s according to the interview?
Question 4. Which one is not the good news of turning 40?
Question 5. Which one is not the reason of persistent cognitive problems?
Now, listen to part 2 of the interview.
For most 40-year-olds, focusing on the task at hand can help make up for any lost edge. Steadiness and discipline, two blessings of maturity, also help in coping with the physiology of the 40s. Regular exercise can have psychological benefits too, such as preventing depression.
Right. Keeping themselves in mood and doing exercises certainly help. Then how about their family life?
Well, they have a lot to cope with, probably more than their parents did at their same age. For many, the stresses are huge. Weekly work hours for women jumped from 18 in 1975 to 28 in 1995. Many husbands and wives simultaneously freak out about their careers. This leads to an increase of divorce rate. Nearly one of seven 40-somethings is divorced, double the rate of 1975. They are also setting records for remarriage and blended families. Adding their own aging parents to the mix, today's 40-year-olds face the extreme sports version of middle age.
I quite understand that wives have more stress because they have more responsibility at home. But why do husbands have pressure?
Since women work longer hours, men have more responsibilities and stress at home. Men in their 40s are spending almost 4 more hours a week doing housework than they were 2 decades earlier. So both sexes are making sacrifice. Men are spending less time eating, sleeping, and reading. Women have cut back on hobbies, visiting, and grooming.
I see. Though middle-aged people do have problems concerning health and family, I bet they are brilliant at work.
Yes. In many ways, workers in their 40s today have it great. They are healthier, better educated, and benefiting from a stronger job market than any previous generation. But the risks are rising along with the rewards. The spread of technology and American culture's infatuation with youth are creating a job market that increasingly rewards flexibility and speed over age.
But middle-aged workers are, anyway, more experienced. They will get employed easier than youngsters.
You're only partly right, I'm afraid. There's plenty of evidence that older workers learn new skills more slowly and are more reticent about adopting new technologies.
Well, it seems these people are really leading a tragic life.
The life that begins at 40 is, in many ways, harder. But there is a payoff. People in their 50s say they're happier. So my advice is, take it easy. Everything will be fine.
What a relief. Thank you, Alice, for giving us so much valuable information and advice.
You're welcome.
This is the end of part 2 of the interview. Questions 6 to 10 are based on what you have just heard. Question 6. For 40-year-olds, what they can do to help in coping with the physiological problems.
Question 7. What is the main reason of increasing divorce rate of 40-year-olds?
Question 8. Why do husbands have pressure at home?
Question 9. What is Alice's attitude towards working opportunities of middle-aged people?
Question 10. Why does the interviewer say middle-aged people are leading a tragic life?